Hello, one and all, and welcome to the 239th episode of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast, coming to you on Monday, October 30th, 2023, the closest we're going to get to a Halloween episode. On the podcast today, Andrew Clark, would you rather move into a suicide house or a murder house?
I want to say suicide house.
Okay.
And you, is it like you are driven by some unseen force to kill yourself and you can't possibly resist it? Or is it just a lot of people kill themselves?
Do these things happen a lot? Or is this just something where it has happened once in the past?
So when I incepted this question, I thought this is a home where either a murder or a suicide took place.
Ghosts. There's no ghosts or demons involved. It's just
guaranteed. I don't think there's any guarantee. I think this is the real world. Is that what
right.
I'm getting from this, Lucas?
Yes. Yeah. No,
so
this is.
Does your real world outlook allow for those types of supernatural things? Because if so, then you have to factor that in.
Am I single? Because if there's a malevolent force causing you to like murder other people and I live alone, I feel like that's a cheat code, right? Like if I move into a suicide house and the malevolent force is going to make you kill yourself, well, then you're screwed. But if you move into a murder house and you live alone, there's no one to murder.
Murders can happen from people who don't live in the house, believe it or not. Like a lot of murders happen from people who don't live there.
Home where a murder took place or a suicide took place.
I don't invite people over. Like they say, hey, you want to go over to your place and watch the game this weekend? I say, there's a weird thing about that. Can we go to your place instead?
But if someone comes to your house with a gun and shoots you, because that's the malevolent force, is it drives people into your house
I think
to
the
kill
malevolent
you.
Force is it drives the people in the house to commit the murder. I don't think the malevolent force is reaching out to a guy six blocks away and saying, go to 3817 9th Avenue and shoot the guy that's living inside.
We have multiple murder houses in LA, and all of them were like, someone broke in and killed people. Like,
yeah.
The Black Dahlia, the fucking Manson murders, like all of those were like people broke in and killed the people living there.
A dude got stabbed to death on my block the week I moved to Los Angeles. And you know what? Actually, good question. What about porch? What about the porch? What about solicitors? Is that like close enough to the house in this hypothetical, Andrew, that would compel you to murder them?
I feel like, again, you guys are both misinterpreting what a murder house is.
No,
and for
I know
some
what
reason,
it is. Andrew took it in a different direction, and now I'm playing along.
Well, I just watched The Conjuring this weekend,
and
it's Halloween. We're talking about murder houses. I assume that there's like a ghost thing going on.
There could be a ghost thing going on, but again, a murder house is you're the one that's going to get murdered. You're not going to become the murderer.
I think murder house, I mean, yeah, do those exist? Yes, but when Lucas says murder house, I'm thinking of suburban guy kills his whole family.
That's a type, but then you're looking at it from the role of the murderer for some reason and not the four people who were not murderers.
Got ghosts on the brain. Lucas says this. I think that I'm the one that's going to be the victim of whatever force is going on in the murder house. Also,
yes!
if there's no force, I'm going into a suicide house. Like
the people who got murdered are also victims of the malevolent force. Just because they weren't being controlled by the malevolent force, they're more victims than the person who does
killing. Suicide house.
Just in general, suicide house.
I don't know, man. I feel like you would pick up vibes from a suicide. Like, there's... Yeah. I feel like homes where people kill themselves.
You pick up vibes from a murder?
Sniffing out them murder vibes?
I feel like there isn't a lot of natural light in any home where a suicide occurred, you know? It's just like...
I think
in there,
that
you
is
feel like
rather narrow-sighted on mental health. Yeah, maybe.
That is a very interesting interpretation.
What? That guy couldn't have killed himself. I went to his house. There was plenty of natural light.
Look, you could see the mountains in the background. Why would anyone kill themselves looking at mountains?
He had like a great 9 to 5, a short commute, and yeah, had most of his loans paid off. He couldn't have killed himself.
It must be a murder house, actually.
Yeah.
My realtor lied to me. This is a murder house, not a suicide house.
Also, according to Experian, which I feel like I've heard that website name, this is my first time being on it, a death such as a homicide or suicide can decrease the property's value by 10 to 15%.
Oh, fuck yeah.
But I don't think it differentiates.
What kind of death, you know?
Yeah.
Did someone, like, not to get very macabre, but like, there are varying levels here, right? Like,
yeah, did somebody have a stroke at 87 and die?
Right. Or even like, yeah, did someone take a bunch of sleeping pills and never wake up? Like, did versus just a brutal, like, gory scene where there's probably still some, you know,
pieces,
some stuff going on in the floorboards. And, you know, like, it's just there's varying levels to that, I feel like.
Mm.
Was it a serial killer house and there's a cellar where all the victims were kept and it's impossible to tell whether there's some human remains left? Or, yeah, like, did someone hang themselves in the closet and that was that? Everyone moved, you know, like,
hey,
it's different.
From Wisconsin, we've all heard the stories. A correct decision by that community to burn down the Bundy house. Like, that was...
It was the Ed Gein house.
Ed Gein, thank you.
Yeah. Bundy was in California.
Oh!
Wait. Oh, yeah, Bundy. Okay. You know, you're thinking of, what's his name?
Dahmer.
Dahmer! Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Dahmer was in Milwaukee. Ed Gein was the rural guy that had his house burned down.
Right. I thought that, when you said Bundy, I definitely thought Dahmer, so...
Right.
It works out. Dahmer lived in an apartment, so you can't.
they burned
down
the
whole complex.
Yeah.
Just like 40 inner city families lose their house because one apartment. Yeah, no, that does make it a little more difficult. But yeah, no, and Gein's grave, right? Like both of those had a lot of vandalism issues.
Mm.
And again, Gein, not really a serial killer, as far as we know. Like, maybe, but there's no real evidence that points to that. He's definitely a grave robber and definitely killed at least one or two people, but not really fitting any sort of definition of serial killer.
Well, then, like, what's the threshold for serial killer? Because he at least... So, granted, if he just killed the one, I would agree, not a serial killer. If he killed two, does that still not qualify as a serial killer? Like, when does he become a serial killer?
I mean, you watched Mindhunter. Serial killing involves like a compulsion. It involves involves like a habitual behavior, like something that they cannot resist. Like, it's not a mass murderer. It's not the same thing, you know. Like, it's a specific psychological like prognosis that happens. Like, it's not someone who has killed 10 people necessarily, even if those 10 people are completely unrelated and like three of them were in a bar brawl and one of them was like in a dispute over like terror, you know. Like, there are just violent people who aren't like compelled to like prey on a specific
but then
type.
So if somebody like has that compulsion and they just only get around to killing one person, like, the
The
world's laziest serial killer.
It involves a pattern. It, like, to have a pattern, you have to have more than one thing. Like,
yeah, so if they
repeated.
Do it twice, is that a serial killer?
If they do it twice in the same way with the same type of victims and it involved a compulsion that they could not resist to kill, then yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
but so that's not Ed Gein. No, we know. Hmm. We know all about Ed Gein. Like, he got taken alive, you guys. Like, he didn't kill himself. We know all about what he was and what he was about.
If you just invent the perfect way to commit murder, are you a serial killer?
What does that mean?
No, hey.
In your head, what's
you
the
devise a scheme.
Way?
Like, I can just kill someone, get away with it scot-free if I follow this 12-step process every time.
Yes, that's a serial killer.
That's the definition of a serial killer.
No, but you're not doing it like the same way because
serial killers
this
don't
is
have
a part
to
of
like,
it.
Torture people and carve weird symbols into them.
Yeah.
Like, If a guy just walks up to someone on the street and shoots them in the back of the head and does that 10 times, that's a fucking serial
killer.
Does
that over and over, targeting like similar areas and maybe even similar types of people. That's the definition. And he's just like, hey, I found a way, you guys. Like, if I have zero connection to my victims and I target people that society is less likely to care about, I can get away with murder a lot.
Yeah, that's like almost all of the serial killers. Yeah, almost every single one of them just does that.
The famous ones are the ones that don't.
It sounds like a Criminal Minds plot where they think they're investigating a serial killer and instead they find out at the end, oh, wait, all of these people owned land rights that this one person stands to gain from buying them all up, but he tricked
like
all of them.
Scooby-Doo.
Yes.
Scooby-Doo TVMA version.
Oh,
just
my
like,
God.
Instead of being spooky, he's just fucking
like,
walking into people's
Mr.
bedrooms at night.
Mr. Lamers! Yeah. And he's like, that's right, kids. I killed 17 people because with their houses, property, or ownerless,
I could expand my theme park.
Them. It can turn it all into a theme park.
I
would have gotten away with it too if only they wouldn't have found my DNA and 17 different houses.
If it could have happened by now, the CW would have done it and would have made adult Scooby-Doo.
There's a couple of people that have published memoirs from the FBI that are like terrified of truck drivers. They're like, I'm not saying all truck drivers are serial killers. What I am saying is there are many truck drivers that are serial killers, and they get away with killing prostitutes all around the country because they're just passing through and they have like an alibi technically because they were doing their job while they were doing. And it's hard to like keep track of that sort of thing. And by the time investigators are around, they're literally four states away. Like, yeah, it's definitely a real thing. And yeah, they have access to sex workers who are on the outs of society and not really the types that are going to draw a lot of eyebrows. Yeah, just kind of, that's a fun little one for, also serial killers in general, though, are on the downswing with mass shooters being.
Almost a mass shooting in Colorado, except they decided like, I'll just kill myself instead, which. Maybe that's a
smart
trend.
Seems like what a lot of mass shooters really want to do is just kill themselves, and then they're like, I want to make others feel as bad as I do right now. Like, yeah.
Again, what if murderers were just a lazier? What if they just got there and they realized, well, you know, this is gonna end in me killing myself? Like,
yeah, but they want to like put their stamp on,
right? They want to be famous.
They want to feel like they had an impact. And the best way to do that is to end the lives of many people in a short period of time.
Yeah. I'm surprised that more don't like do what the Columbine people were trying to do and like kind of make it a thing, you know, like make a go of it. Like, I'm guessing it's just a testament to how mentally unwell a lot of these people are, that they're like really on the outs and are not capable of actually like putting together any sort of plan of action and trying to like, oh, I'm going to try to escape Interpol because why not? That'd be a fun grand finale to my life. You know, like doesn't seem to really happen very much. Like when they caught the main shooter, caught, quote unquote, like they just found his body at his old workplace. It's like, yeah, that was probably always the plan. Like, so yeah. And that goes to the whole gun control argument of like the bad guys will always get access to guns. And it's just like almost all of these mass shooters got their guns legally. And like, I don't know what you think illegal arms dealers are like, but these people are very unwell and aren't like the easiest way for an illegal arms dealer to get caught would be to sell to someone who is going to be very famous in a few days. Like they're going to be pretty like suspicious of that type of person. And it's going to be hard for them to cover up the fact that they're trying to kill as many people as they can with those guns. Yeah, it's just a whole.
Forgive me if I'm speaking out of line here, but it's my understanding a lot of illegal arms dealers, like that is a lot closer to like white collar crime than it is.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Because that's just, it's functionally embezzling, but with assets and then flipping that. Yeah.
No, 100%. The illegal arms dealers are basically drug dealers, but they're selling guns. And a lot of those guns are sold to very high-end clients who aren't gonna fucking do anything with them. Like, they're just gonna show their buddies out on their ranch, like, haha, guess what, I have a full auto machine gun because my dick's small, like, you know, like,
they 40 to 40 just... feral hogs.
Yeah, exactly.
Or a cop took a bunch of like 9mm from the police, like, evidence locker and sold it to a guy for $100 a pop. And
so it's yeah, a lot of the there are definitely arms dealers that are full, like, same with drug dealers. Like, there are drug dealers that are just, they're selling weed on the weekends. Like, they're just, they're pretty fucking chill. They're not really doing much. They get stuff from their supplier, they hand it out to people that they know and people they trust, make some little bit of profit, and that's it. And then there's drug dealers that it's like, no, I'm in the empire game. Like, I am building an empire with these illegal drugs, and I will kill people to get what I need. Same thing with arms dealers. There are people that are just flipping assets illegally. And then there are people that are, no, I'm in it to win it, man. I want to make billions off of this empire of mine. And yeah, the types of people that mentally unwell, like people on the fringes of society are going to have access to, are the types of people that would be like, I am absolutely not fucking with you in the slightest. You terrify me. I'm afraid if I give you this gun, you're going to kill me with it immediately. Yeah. Like, I have zero trust in you whatsoever.
I'm going to give you this gun, and I'm going to tell you somewhere else to go to get the ammo.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be around when you get that thing loaded up.
Yeah. But meanwhile, because of the lack of red flag laws in states such as Maine, go to a Walmart and the Walmart clerk might not be paying that close of attention and is going to do their job because official store policy is, sell the fucking gun. Like, yeah.
Speaking of Maine, and also on the podcast today, Ryan Holtz, if you were an FBI investigator sent to investigate a series of ritualistic murders in rural Maine, which core beliefs of yours would not be challenged?
The core belief that I'm the smartest fucking dude in the world, and and also Olaf from Frozen, and I have it all figured out. And then fucking what's his name, the giant guy, Kemper, is gonna kind of put me in my place all of a sudden, but it's not really gonna stick. And then my show's going to get canceled by Netflix, and I'm not going to get a season 3, even though we had plot lines that were set up for multiple seasons.
Wait, what do you mean Olaf from Frozen?
Is that... Jonathan Groff. Oh, no, he's not Olaf. He's Sven.
No, it's Josh Gad.
No, he's Sven. He's in Frozen.
Yeah.
Sven's the reindeer. Who's Kristoff? He's Kristoff in Frozen.
I was like, wait, hold on.
No.
Does Ryan not know what Josh Gad looks like?
No, I've seen Josh Gad in person. I've interacted with Josh Gad. No, Kristoff. I know, it's crazy, right? And then just like, no, the victim had multiple exit and entry wounds like throughout her body. Multiple insects were found throughout the court. Yeah,
dude, that dude's character was like maybe the cringiest guy I've ever seen in television. He sucks so hard.
The show's so good. Like, I can't.
It's really, really good. I
love it so much.
Every couple of weeks, I think about how sad I am that show got canceled.
He's perfect. Like, he is hateable, but like, man, does it really bring the show together. Like, that is what it is all fucking about. And yeah, the scene, I don't think I've ever felt as much Schadenfreude, like whatever you want to call it, as when Kemper
just like breaks touches free his neck.
breaks free of his chains and just kind of like, hey buddy, I'm a 6'8" serial killer. You thought you were pretty fucking slick, huh? Like, I'm not gonna do it, but if I wanted to right now, I would rape your corpse. Like, there's nothing you could do to stop it. Good luck. All right. Now I will walk away casually. It's glorious. It's a great show. Everyone should watch Mindhunter.
Am I correct in saying Kemper was the one that in real life narrated like a surprising number of books as a part of a prison labor program?
I'm not sure about that. I know he wrote a bunch of books, so maybe he narrated them too. Like, I know he's dubbed, like the intellectual serial killer. Like, he's the serial killer that you can have a fucking creepily normal conversation with and is very matter of fact about his crimes to the point that he seems very disconnected, you know? Like, it's just one of those things. He's like, it reminds me of the guy who like made SWAT a thing, like the Texas UT Austin bell tower sniper. Like how he was just like writing notes that were just like, I'm fucked up, like something's wrong with me. I started noticing it a few months ago. I don't know what it is. Like, I've tried to get help and people didn't help, and I'm gonna do this thing because like this is what I've been told I need to do, and this is the only thing my body feels like it can do right now. And then they discovered a massive brain tumor pushing on a certain area of his brain that was clearly going on there. So like Kemper seems similar to that, where it's just something really fucked up broke in his in his body, and he kind of is in full understanding of that, which sounds terrifying, like to be in that position of just like complete loss of control, and to the level of just like, I'm real fucked, man. Like, psychiatrists have really tried to figure me out, and I'm right there with them. Like, I think he studied like a lot of a lot of stuff he was diagnosed with, and is like, he got to the level of like borderline expert on a lot of the conditions that he had been diagnosed with, and would always talk to the doctors about like the weird nuances of his diagnosis. Just like, well, do you think, like, I'm presenting as kind of more like type C, it seems, but like, I noticed that you said type B in your notes, but like, you know, like, I'm just like, let's have some back and forth here about this. Like, I'm just fascinated by it, you know?
A psychiatrist's favorite kind of patient.
I mean, but he like has nothing better to do than study it for 100 hours a week. So I'm sure, compared to most people who, did one Google, like, he actually had a lot of it. I think he's dead. He's been dead for a while, right? All the interviews I've seen of him, he died. They're all in black and white. No, he's totally fucking alive.
Damn.
I don't know why. Oh, shit. He was born in Burbank. Hold on. That's weird. He's 74. He's like a full-blown baby boomer.
He's also, 6'9".
Yeah, I said 6'8". He's 6'9".
Nah, come on.
California Medical Facility in NorCal. Still there. I don't know why people aren't doing interviews with him. I wonder if like he started to kind of degrade and isn't that way anymore. Because all the interviews I've seen are like, you know, that 70s grade?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's like black and white, and then there's like modern TV, even like, you know, standard definition, but like you can still tell it's modern. There's like 70s where it's like kind of sepia weirdness, like That's all the interviews I've seen from him. So.
Also, hello, everyone. I'm Lucas DeRuyter. And it turns out the scariest social media platform is LinkedIn. But on there a lot. I don't. I guess it's useful. I guess it's useful in surfacing jobs and stuff. But LinkedIn, not great. Any job board, any job website, not great. But LinkedIn is getting the heat because it's kind of at the top of that pile, but it's a bad pile.
Lovely.
That's all I got. Also, this doc is kind of bare because it turns out when I don't have a job that requires me to be caught up on current events and other things to preoccupy my time, I'm less great about filling this out. Maybe there's just less happening. I don't know.
This is you're learning what me and Andrew have fallen into with I think the first few episodes we were adding stuff. We were all contributing. And then it just becomes like falls through. Ed Kemper was denied parole. He was first eligible in 79. Then in 80, 81, and 82, waived his right to a hearing in 85, denied parole at 88, denied in 91, 94. Then he waived it in 97 and 02. He was like, whatever. And then in 07, he was denied and he went. Then he waived it again in 2012, was denied in 2017, and is next eligible next year, 2024. Could get Ed Kemper on the loose. The prosecutor said, "We don't care how much of a model prisoner he is because of the enormity of his crimes."
That's probably smart. Like,
that is pretty fair. In 88, he said, "Society is not ready in any shape or form for me. I can't fault them for that." At his sentencing, he requested death by torture. He requested the death penalty for himself. So, yeah, but then California had moved on past the death penalty by that point. So,
I mean, I don't think it is unfair to say that this man is literally built different. So,
yeah. No, he is a very unique person. And Cameron Britton, the actor who plays him in Mindhunter, just
nailed it.
Like, beautiful. He plays Dyebeard, right? No. That's a different guy who looks almost exactly fucking the same. The HBO Max show with John Cena. What's that character's name?
Talking about Peacemaker?
Yeah, Peacemaker. Dyebeard from that. That actor looks almost exactly the same as Cameron Britton.
Huh.
He's a comedian. He's sometimes on Comedy Bang Bang. Steve Agee. Steve Agee, Cameron Britton. That's my celebrity look-alike pairing.
There.
There you go.
So the Five Nights at Freddy's, FNAF, as the youths are calling it, that movie came out. It's bad. It's making buco bucks, but it's bad, which is really in the spirit of Five Nights at Freddy's.
Is it bad? I haven't even seen any real
reviews. I've heard it's really bad.
It's like guaranteed real bad.
It's getting real bad reviews. I know that like a lot of people are going to watch it, but
29% critic rating, 89% audience score. So maybe those elitist writers just don't get it.
I saw that the marionette was not featured. There was a lot of marionette cosplay, and people were very bummed out by that, I know.
Oh, man. Purple guy's there, right? I don't even know what purple guy is, but he's there.
Grimace?
Yeah.
I don't know his name. I know Freddy Fazbear. And
5e Fox.
Hey, I'm here to eat your innards. We should overthrow the democratic establishment. Maybe we take them down from the inside. I'll pretend to be a democratic senator from Arizona, and then I'll get elected, and then I'll just follow a bunch of conservative policies. I'm here to overthrow fair elections and eat children. And I'm all out of fair elections. Oh, Fivey, you're such a card.
Fivey has gotten so flanderized so quickly.
He was always. I don't think this is a situation where it was a nuanced, interesting character who just became one note.
No, Fivey never jumped the shark.
I think
Fivey was born jumping the shark.
I think Fivey was incepted as a way to make fun of Nate Silver and his very, we can just use math to explain all human condition and behavior. And like,
yeah, it's foundation.
I think the first episode, Fivey Fox was a Nazi.
He's definitely on coke.
I'm pretty sure the very first time he appeared.
Yeah, he was a coked up racist.
Yeah. It was definitely like, beginning there, but before the episode was out, he was Flandersed.
Yeah.
Maybe like when he was incepted, he was on the jump, like on the jet ski. He was on the ramp. He wasn't quite over on top of the shark, but by the time he was like in this world, he was already over the shark.
Foxy was born with so much fucking momentum.
Yeah, man.
You're destined to soar.
You shot out into this world.
Anyway, spoilers for the FNAF movie. MatPat has a cameo, because of course.
probably a huge spoiler. Like, it's probably like a major plot point. Like, he shows up and he's just like, "That's just a theory," and then he says it. He gets fucking gutted.
Does he really say that's just a theory?
Yeah, he's like a waiter at a diner, and he gives his theory on the spooky happenings happening in the town.
Oh, dude, this movie sounds so fucking bad.
They had to. Yeah. Come on.
Markiplier was supposed to be in it, and then he just like dropped out. He like got busy. He's like, I don't want to do this anymore.
It's very Markiplier.
Also, maybe don't see this because the creator is Scott Cawthorn, evangelical style conservative who gave money to Trump and other Republicans and will again. So
he'll do it again.
Fucking do it again.
Now, I know that's very 2008 style YouTube drama, but that's kind of around when this happened, so yeah.
Five Nights at Freddy's isn't that old. I feel like that came out a little after our time, like as big time YouTube consumers. Oh, okay.
First video game of the same name was released 2014.
There you go.
Okay.
We were like going off to college when the very first game kind of became a thing. I feel like we were just a little ahead. This is the iCarly of video games, like kids video game trends, where it was like we probably caught the beginning, kind of the origins, and then we observed from afar. But yeah.
Oh man, Ryan, the latest Five Nights at Freddy's doing your favorite thing. Five Nights at Freddy's : security breach : ruin.
Can't do two fucking colons.
You got so much more punctuation. You got a comma. You got a semicolon. You got a dash. You got an M dash.
It's the dash. It should be a dash. 100%. There is a very easy solution here. First one's a colon. Second one's a dash. Or just fucking don't even have it.
Come on. Yeah, shorten
the title. Use Brad B.
Yeah. What is it called?
Five Nights at Freddy's : security breach : ruin.
Just drop the second colon and it would still work.
Five Nights at Freddy's security breach ruin. Yeah.
That works as well as having two subtitles. Yeah. Ugh. Look at all these characters. Holy shit. Wait, no, that's not the most recent one. The most recent one is Five Nights at Freddy's Help Wanted 2.
Oh,
it's scheduled for release in December.
Ah.
So there you go.
God, there are...
On the Five Nights at Freddy's sister location.
There are sub-series within the Five Nights at Freddy's universe, and I am old, is what I'm realizing.
It costs nothing to make. Like, they're just dirt cheap. Why not? If you accidentally stumbled upon a money-creating machine, are you saying you wouldn't milk it dry and then give them to causes that you believe in? I'm sure your causes would be better than Scott Cawthon's, but I'd be doing the exact same fucking shit.
I like to believe I have some kind of creative integrity, but no, if it's Buko Bucks, yeah, probably.
I do not have... That, like, what even is that level of creative integrity? Just like,
I don't know,
desperately toiling in mediocrity instead of continuing to deliver successful games that people play and interact with.
I'm making stuff that I think is good, making stuff that people I respect think is good.
I think a lot of people like the games, man.
A lot of children.
Yeah. Children need games. Yeah. I don't know.
All right.
What's Scott Cawthon's net worth? Let's see. How much did he sell out for?
North of 50 mil?
It's all bullshit, but...
Right.
Yeah, 70 mil.
Oh, so he is set if he is any kind of, like, normal standard of living. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not clinging to some paper-thin, like, creative integrity. For 70 fucking million dollars.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go all Flappy Bird and just like, I'm deleting Five Nights at Freddy's because this is too much. I never wanted this. I never asked for this. Goodbye, everyone.
I don't think did Flappy Bird guy ever give away the money, or was he like, I made enough to continue any kind of No, not for me. I'm out.
I mean, he put it back, right? Like it was back on the store. And then it just had like a million ripoffs is the thing. He started a company named Dot Gears Company Limited, based in Hanoi.
Okay. Mm.
So he's been making other games. The most recent game is called Boop.
Boop.
I remember Swing Copters.
Huh.
When they made like a Flappy Bird knockoff where you go up instead of sideways. It works.
Is that just the jumpy one? No, that's Doodle Jump.
That's Never Doodle mind. Jump. That's OG. I'm
sorry, everyone. I forgot Doodle Jump. That's my bad.
Doodle Jump is like when the iPod Touch first came out, and it was like, holy shit, look at this thing, man. You can tilt it. This is fucking crazy.
Now that I'm freelancing more or looking into that, someone pay me to write about how cell phones, how iPods saved touch controls in video games or physics-based games.
That wasn't even touch controls, Doodle Jump. That was accelerometer. Yeah. That was tilt controls.
Right.
That was good using tilt controls.
Yeah. I mean, they had a bunch of those. They had a fucking Temple Run. That one was huge for a while. It became Subway Surfers.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Fucking what's it called? What else did they have? They had God, what was the one where you like had the bird that you had to like get into the like valley perfectly so that it would go faster? Oh fuck.
I'm not familiar.
Damn. This is gonna kill me if I can't remember this shit. This is a game where like I had it and no one else did, and people would like crowd around me in between classes to watch me play. That's how fucking exhilarating it was, man.
I want to say called... that it probably wasn't a big game then, if you were the only one that you knew that had
it. I had one on Apple or on Google, but there was an Apple one. Yeah, mine was called Dragon, Fly. That was on Android, but it was a knockoff of the game on Apple that wasn't on Android, so I had to play that. It was... Fuck, man. I don't know, but I played a lot of Dragonfly. That's for sure.
Oh, I see it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what the main Apple game was.
I'm seeing Air Control 2, Air Attack.
No, it was like a bird. It was the same style of gameplay, but it was the bird, like where you wanna like land perfectly in the hill to launch yourself forward. Dragonfly.
Tiny Wings?
Tiny Wings, that's it. Yeah. Lucas knows it. Yeah, Tiny Wings. That's the Apple version.
Hmm.
People ate that shit up too. Damn.
Tag Strike might be winding down. No transition into that one, so I just went for it. I don't know if like things are actually moving in a really positive direction, or if things have just been so stagnant and not great for so long that it's like, oh, well, they talked all throughout the weekend, so that's good, obviously.
I think everyone's just clinging to the whole, like, this is how the WGA strike resolved. Is there was, like, no progress, and then all of a sudden, massive progress because they worked through a weekend to make it happen. But,
it's...
Duncan Ireland... One of the SAG spokespeople came out today and was kind of like, I mean, it's like positive, but it's not like imminent, you know, like
they're
so
I was also made blatantly clear during the Directors Guild negotiations that the trades are just kind of bought and paid for by the studios and will always be publishing stuff that is favorable to the studios, which. Yeah, the studios are more materially in a position where, they want to seem like they're addressing this, that, there's positive momentum, that the TV, the releases that make them money are going to be coming back, and that people selling ads to them shouldn't be worried.
Definitely depends on the trade, but yeah, I think in general, it tends towards the multi-billion dollar industry that, you know, gets them all their insider scoop. But
as a journalism,
at the same time, there's definitely some. There's definitely some where, like, literally some of the writers will be on the picket lines. So,
yeah,
you know, it can vary. And they do a lot of interviews with people that represent the union to make sure that they at least get their answer. And yeah, I think both Fran Drescher and Duncan Crabtree Ireland were like, yeah, positive momentum. Better than it was. But yeah, I don't think it's over yet. Sure would be nice.
Yeah.
For everyone.
Wouldn't it be nice?
If there wasn't a strike.
Wouldn't it be nice if Ireland united? Andrew, no. Local Ireland expert, uh-oh, got any takes on this?
Local Ireland expert. Guy local with some Irish blood in him. Here to talk about global affairs. No, it's there's a referendum in Northern Ireland to
secede?
To leave the UK and join the Republic of Ireland. It's not going to pass.
Yeah.
I don't even
loyalists, right?
Yeah, it's I want to say like maybe a third of the people there like actually want to rejoin mainland Ireland. It's not going to pass. I did see some stuff about like the British Parliament was freaking out because in Northern Ireland's constitution, a referendum just needs 50% plus one to win, you know, like just any other, you know, majority vote. And they were saying like, well, you should change this to, you need a supermajority. You should need like 60 or better, 70% to pass. And like, they're like, no, what? We're not going to just make sure that we never pass a referendum. Like, a referendum's a referendum. Like, if the majority of people vote, we're going to do it. But no, it's not going to pass.
Mm. This time.
Would it be cool? Sure. But it's not going to happen.
I feel like I would desperately want to be back in the EU if I'm Northern Ireland. Like, more so than all the identity politics and everything like that. Just get back to the EU.
I mean, like, I think the majority of people there want to rejoin the EU, and that is why they would want to rejoin the Republic of Ireland. But like, at least 50% of the people there like do not like the Irish. Yeah. They're ethnically British. They are Protestant. They don't like Ireland. They do not want to be a part of it.
Mm.
And who can blame them?
Hey.
UK, what a great country. Britain first.
MABA. Or no, wait, no. Not MABA. It would be MBAGA. MBAGA.
Yeah, it'd be MBAGA.
Make Britain great again.
God save the king. Am I right, lads?
No, MABA would be Make America British Again.
Yeah,
let's go way back.
I don't think the Brits... The thing about, like, the British pride versus American pride is, like, the U.S. still thinks that we can, like, regain our footing on the world stage and be the single dominant superpower that no one else can question.
Mm-hmm.
The British know they can't.
They've like, fallen so far.
Right.
Like, even if they hadn't fallen so far, like, they were too high. Like, they were a tiny little island
that was controlling half of the world.
Like, it didn't make sense. So, like, they're at least, like, they've been rid of the delusion that they'll ever get back to a semblance of where they once were. Americans still think that, like, the manufacturing jobs are coming back. We just need one more Republican term in the presidency, and we'll be right back to making fucking steel and computers. And it's like, no. That shit's gone forever, man. Like,
come on. One more tax break for the wealthy, and we'll be back to average Joes without college degrees and people with college degrees being able to get good jobs.
Yeah.
Look, I know we said it the last six times that it was going to work, but this time I swear.
One more denial of voting rights to a at-risk minority group, and then we'll be able to buy a house for $15,000 from a Sears catalog. Doesn't take much.
One more president over the age of 80. I know Democrats.
Yeah, I was gonna say
that's old as shit, dude.
That's not a Republican thing.
That's an everyone thing.
The last thing I had to say about Great Britain was, yeah, Great Britain just had a really good StarCraft run. You know, everything lined up for them. And then they just, yeah, did StarCraft in real life and across the entire world. And then the run ended because they did it. They won. then they slacked off.
I mean, one of the core things of empires is that they can't.
Yeah.
They can't exist, right?
Like, yeah, they are inherently unsustainable. Right. It has never worked before.
It's a population chart where it's like, if it goes beyond the maximum carrying capacity, eventually it will plateau and then fall back to the norm.
Yeah, like, it's an inherent part of imperialism that expansion will be your own end because you will outgrow your ability to govern.
Yep. Corporate capitalism. Like, eventually you cannot grow anymore. You're going to hit the Netflix problem where you're fully saturated. There's nowhere else to go. And all you can do after that is like try to raise prices or.
We make video games now.
Crack down on password sharing. That's what the US government tried to do when they were ceding territory to the Philippines. Cracking down password sharing. Just classic.
Someone's playing Dredge and Titanfall 2?
I'm playing Dredge, a very fun, cozy, surprisingly deep, no pun intended, game that released on the Nintendo Switch this year.
Ooh.
Where you play as a fishing boat operator who also has a dredger, and you fish. There's like a fishing minigame that's actually pretty cool. There's a dredging minigame that's actually pretty cool. And you uncover the mystery of all these islands. And then Titanfall 2, a first-person shooter that came out like 5 years ago.
Wait, is Dredge the spooky fishy game?
Yeah.
Spooky. Okay. Huh.
Yeah, it's very atmospheric. I like the art style. It's perfect for this time of year. And then Titanfall 2, a game where you are either a regular guy wall running and flying and traveling through time, or you're in a big fucking robot.
Yeah.
You know, regular guy shit.
I
wall running, teleporting, traveling.
I mean,
time.
Regular guy is not a 30-foot tall robot. A regular sized guy.
Man, last Halloween I played Silent Hill, and I should really try to find time to play Silent Hill 2. Andrew, I've heard a lot of people whose job it is to have opinions about video games say that, yeah, Titanfall 2 might be one of the best ones, and it's kind of a tragedy that we don't have a Titanfall 3, or that...
Yeah, so like Titanfall 1 didn't have a single-player campaign. It was just a multiplayer game. Titanfall 2 had all the same multiplayer shit, but then came out of nowhere and was like, we're gonna have a single player campaign that like expands this world. And it was really good. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, it was really, really fun to play. And like had like pretty solid characters and some fun boss fights. And then nothing. Like, it was a really successful game. Like, I think people are still playing the multiplayer because of the movement so fun.
I'm seeing.
And then they made Apex Legends. And Respawn's never going to make anything else.
I think that was the really unfortunate part of it is that, like, Titanfall 2 didn't do poorly. I'm saying right here, like, it sold 4 million units. It's just that, yeah, market forces and the industry landscape changed in such a way that, I mean, if you're going to make a game even close to this, it has to be a battle royale. It has to be something that can be infinite
microtransactions and with a season pass and all that shit. Yeah. I mean, Apex Legends came around because they were like, we have all of these assets from Titanfall 2 and the Battle Royale game, or, you know, Sphere was exploding. Like, we got to get in on this as quickly as possible. So they just put a bunch of Titanfall 2 assets into a Battle Royale and then they ran with it.
They're doing a lot of the Star Wars games, I see. Respawn, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, and now they've got
four more.
Yeah, that's Respawn.
Oh, I played that game. I really liked it.
There you go. That was Respawn. Huh. They announced they're opening a third studio to keep Apex Legends going for 10 to 15 years. Guess where that's based? That studio.
Where?
Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh my God.
Get in there, Andrew. Yeah. Now is your time.
There's a bunch of like Activision Blizzard buildings here as well in Madison.
Call of Duty veteran Ryan Burnett is leading that branch of the company.
Huh.
I think I remember hearing about that. Video game companies now looking at no offense to the town that hosted our alma mater, like second and third tier cities, for studio openings, just because they can't get talent. Yeah. They can't get people to like move out to Los Angeles for wages that are conducive to producing video games.
Tell you right here, I have a hard time believing that Apex Legends is gonna pay people enough to live well in Madison.
let's get on this website. Let's see. Respawn Entertainment jobs. Let's do it. Lucas has been on the job hunt lately. He's got the eye.
Fired off a couple apps today. Let me tell you, LinkedIn's easy apply, not actually all that easy.
They've got Madison and Offsite Wisconsin. Those are the two options that potentially. They have a concept art intern.
Ooh.
They have a game designer that's in Madison. Let's see, what does a game designer make? Do they have to post salaries?
I'm seeing something on Glassdoor that software engineer is between 80 and 130.
Let's see, what's a game designer? We've got a game designer position open. 5+ years of professional experience as a designer in a multiplayer game. 3+ years experience as a level designer. Familiarity with Battle Royale genre. Experience with content.
This game's not going to exist in 15 years. Like,
I don't know, man. They sure are banking on it. Also, a senior UX designer position is also available. Which experience does that require? 5+ years of professional game development experience working in game engines. Proficiency in Figma or comparable UX design tools.
So sad Steve Jobs died of Figma.
Figma balls.
Yeah.
Who's Steve Jobs? Figma balls.
I don't know. Maybe you should apply.
Get in there.
I do not want to work for Respawn Entertainment.
Why not?
You just said you like so many of their games. Now you're fucking shot.
Video game companies are horrible to work for. But
wow.
Bungie just laid off a ton of their employees today.
Oh, yeah. After Sony said 2.5 years ago, hey, we're not going to lay people off after acquiring
Bungie. They gave them
Bungie
like $1 billion for the purpose of not laying their employees off, and they did it anyway.
What companies are good to work for, though, in your...
Thank you!
In your world? Like, why? I don't understand being like, video game companies suck. It's like, I think they're just public and companies that we are interested in as guys in their 20s. Like, I don't know that they're any worse than the rest of like corporate capitalism.
Okay, fine. I'll apply to work at Respawn Entertainment.
Yay!
Hooray!
A gameplay engineer intern. That probably doesn't require much experience.
Probably doesn't pay very much.
The reality of why a lot of gaming companies and a lot of companies in 2023 are difficult to work for is because so much of just capitalism is project or ad revenue based, which the former has a lot of turnover because projects end, and under capitalism, well, we don't need these people anymore, and it'd be too much work, too much money to find new things for these good people to do, so we just lay them off, and the ad market is, even when the economy is good, deeply fluctuating. So, yeah. I've been thinking about that a lot recently for unrelated reasons. Yeah, yeah.
Respawn Entertainment has a little fucking medal on its page. Gamesindustry.biz awarded it Best Places to Work 2022.
Mm.
So, you know, maybe it's not the worst thing possible. Why not?
I didn't realize Respawn, like, they began with Titanfall.
Yeah, because it was a spinoff of the Call of Duty people that got sick
Call of Duty people made their own studio and did that thing. Yeah.
No, just the way people talk about Respawn, I thought they'd been around longer than 2014, but yeah.
Have you ever heard of like the win key that sometimes people talk about for some of these like massive battle royale games? That like there's speculation that sometimes game devs, in order to just dick around, because like it's very common, in order to dick around in these types of big, massive multiplayer games, they put very obscure like settings in the game for everyone so that they can't get caught, that allow them to basically have a pretty massive advantage. There's been some over the years in like Warzone, for example, where like, I don't know if you remember, Andrew, the underbarrel attachment on like one specific gun just being a one shot in all situations, like from ridiculous range and everything. And people are just like, what a weird bug. And then there's like the conspiracy theorists that are like, no, that's the dev like attachment. That's like, it's a very obscure particular set of attachments that you could have that like would be very difficult to find. And if someone did find it, they would probably chalk it up to like, oh, this is a weird bug, I'm not going to tell anyone about it because I want to take advantage of it too. Like back in the day, how developers used to code, like when it was a single player game, you'd code a backdoor win button. But for these massive multiplayer games, would you ever work for Respawn just so you could
to figure it out?
You could code in win buttons for yourself. And
I think that was
guy.
That was a thing in some of the I think an NBA Jam. Like one team who a developer was a fan of was just like, no, yeah, the Spurs are the best team in the game.
I think it was the Knicks. He hated the Knicks. So no matter what, the Knicks could not hit a last minute game winning shot against the Bulls or whatever team he was a fan of. Like, I definitely remember, again, it was like a specific circumstance. And NBA Jam hit a lot of like end of the game buzzer beaters. If you were winning by two, pretty decent chance you were going to lose if the other team took that last minute buzzer beater. So it was coded in that like they could never do it, which is funny. But yeah, also like if you have this obscure combination of guns, you get good circle luck, or like, you know, like things like that, that like it would be impossible to really prove beyond a shadow of a doubt. Similar to becoming president, just so you could learn about them aliens. Like, you could just know for yourself. You probably can't tell anyone else, but like, you'll always know. Like, yeah.
We've talked about that before, about how like that's the very first thing you do. Of like, all right, Mr. President, you're sworn in. Like, all right, take me to Area 51 right now. This second. I want the documents on my table in 20 minutes, and then we're going to hop on a plane and we're going to go there.
How? I go back and forth so often about the effectiveness of some sort of shadow organization of people that are like kind of deeply entrenched in our federal government, to where like they kind of they're outside of the political world, you know, like they do kind of like bullshit jobs that people think don't have much power, but they actually do. Like, I've experienced this in my role at like a major entertainment company, is like there's some roles that like people kind of assume don't do much or don't have much power, but are actually doing a lot more than you would have thought.
Right.
Like, how much of it is that where like the president kind of like could say, hey, I want everything we've got on extraterrestrials. And like, it's kind of caught up in this weird paperwork world where like it doesn't get all the way to the president.
versus the like, no, people are fucking bootlickers. Like people are going to instantly be like, oh shit, maybe I'll get to talk to the president if I like blab about this to my superior, you know, like that type of thing. I go back and forth between those two because they're both kind of within human nature. The like, no, I'm going to just hole up with this information. I'm not going to like expose how much power I have in this world. I'm just a pencil pusher on the outside, but on the inside, I hold a lot of sway and influence. And if I make a lot of noise, that might go away versus I'm a bootlicker, man.
And it entirely depends on how much they give a shit about their job, right? Like if they actually, if they actually value their work and like realize, oh, wait, I am a vital cog in this machine. Yeah, they're going to be like, oh, the president wants to know about the aliens? Well, I'm going to need these documents filled out in triplicate. We're going to have to prep the aliens for visitors, you know? The president can't just walk in there. Like, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, but then it's also, like, then that's reliance upon having, like, making sure that there is a very nondescript position that does hold all of that power to make sure that alien documents never get to the president. And that it's always filled by somebody in your shadow organization. And that those people are fine with doing a nothing job for like the sake of your weird shadow organization.
It's not a nothing job. That's the whole thing. Like you're doing a lot, but people just don't realize it because it's kind of under the radar. And then because of like bureaucracy, like in politics and everything, you kind of have fallen outside of the, you know, general apparatus that would report up and to the point where like you're kind of in this weird echo chamber. It's not like a shadow organization that's necessarily trying to keep itself secret, but more just like there's too many dotted lines that everyone kind of assumes that like this position rolls up under someone else and they kind of have gotten into this weird niche. And then all it takes is like one long running supervisor who's there for 40 years to basically be like, I'm not rocking this fucking boat. Like, I got a good gig here.
To give a maybe more applicable and real world example that I might have been familiar with at a job I may or may not have had and definitely cannot disparage per signed agreements in Minecraft, hypothetically. I think the person who was in charge of what was broadly our social media team, or broadly a social media team, didn't have the account info for any of the social media accounts. So the one person who did have that was functionally unfireable.
Yeah, it was basically
because
autonomous.
They were the only person who had, that information.
I'm sure that they could go to court and they would be able to get that. I don't think that person has any legal right to the passwords there.
But maybe they delete it on the way out and it's like, whoa.
I think you'd get sued for that. There's got to be something in the employment agreement that would.
Right, but that would require the person above them admitting to people above them, like, oh yeah, I don't got that shit.
If it's deleted, like there's nothing that supervisor could have done. If they're just like, oh, peace out, delete, like, I don't know how the supervisor could have possibly prevented that, but yeah, no, like it's
yeah.
All the supervisor would do is like right before that person's about to get laid off, just like, oh hey, need you to train this person, fill them in with the passwords and everything like that, and then lock out their access, and you're done. Easy peasy.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I don't know. I go back and forth. I don't think we have any aliens. I just think like the research and like what we've gotten.
I don't know. I saw those bodies in the Mexican Congress. Like that shit was so fake.
Yeah.
I mean, like obviously it was fake, but like it looked bad. It looked like it was paper mache.
Straight out of the 1800s when they would do scams
like sideshows and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't know. I think that there's info and like interesting stuff and things that a president might not have otherwise been privy to about our, like, obviously our country and everything. Like there's going to be stuff that was properly covered up that would fucking turn your hair white.
But yeah, I don't think like there's extraterrestrials that you're like, all right, I want to meet and greet. And then there's a shadow organization preventing the president from meeting. Like, that's too big to cover up. That would get out. That's impossible. So, but yeah, like, oh, back in fucking 71, we've launched a nuclear weapon against Russia, and we're fortunately able to steer it off course, and Russia pretended it was their own nuclear test in order to prevent the world from ending, and it went a long ways towards detente, but also like really got things fired up in the Cold War. Yeah. I don't know. Crazy shit.
Where are y'all at Rick and Morty? There's been some crazy shit going on in that.
Nice. I haven't seen the last two episodes. Oh. Unfortunately, so, just the first one.
Okay.
I still haven't watched any.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm terrible.
Are we out of that target demo?
We're across the spectrum.
I'll catch up. This is the same thing I did last year.
Mm.
Can you watch it on Max? Can you watch the new episodes?
No, they do a bulk drop at that. You have to
watch on Adult Swim.
Adult Swim. Although they're weirdly finicky about when that's available for free and when it isn't.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's like 24 hours later for a couple of weeks. Like, it's not on there indefinitely.
Adult Swim. No, I don't want the Rick and Morty marathon. I just want to know if it... Ah, okay. Wait. Oh, no. Third episode. Latest episode. Came out yesterday. Have to have a key to watch it. Yeah. I don't like it. I don't like this world.
No.
So we are all continuing to play Baldur's Gate 3. Do you guys think it's weird? Do you guys also now have opinions on Dungeons and Dragons you never thought you would have? And is that weird that I do?
I'm curious what you think. I want some examples, that's for sure.
I mean, it's like, I get a lot of the memes now. Like, if I see a meme that's like, wizards be like, when no one else got me, I know that magic missile got me. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? Magic missile does got you if you're a wizard. You're good.
That's pretty nerdy shit. I don't know.
Fair.
I don't think I've had that. I'm a barbarian and a bard. We haven't gotten too far in the bard playthrough.
Mm.
And the barbarian playthrough is hit with the sword.
Yeah.
As hard as you can. Stand as close as you can to them. And that's about it. So, no real memes. Just no. Anger.
Mm.
Just rage. What you got,
Andrew?
Have
trouble throwing stuff as a barbarian?
Like what?
I feel like the prompt of like frenzied throw or whatever is pick up a person or thing from the ground and chuck it. But it's like it takes you into the radial, not like the overworld to throw something.
You just back out of it. When you click throw, you back out of the item menu and then you can click on something near you.
Yeah. Weird.
Click throw and then cancel and then you can throw things from the overworld.
Like what do I got? I mean, my characters in our campaigns are a cleric and a paladin, and I'm not very good at playing either of them. And at least in my cleric playthrough, the character has developed into just a guy that fucking sucks.
An absolute joke.
Just part of it is that I'm bad at playing the game and I fuck things up. And then part of it is that I keep dying very quickly and unable to heal people. I'm not able to do my job as the healer. And then
part of it is your dialogue.
Yeah, like
your dialogue's out of control. Every time you try to talk to someone, they hate you.
Yeah, dude. I'm not even trying to like romance people anymore. Like originally when I started this character, I wanted him to be like a dude bro Irish Catholic guy. And now it's just he's looking for a friend.
Yeah.
Because everyone fucking
Dude bro Irish Catholic guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't have buddies. He just walks around to people and they all like, what do
every
you want?
Single time I talk to somebody, the reaction is, and I'm sure it would be the same if other people chose to talk to those characters, but I always seem to find the ones that are like, what do you want?
Yeah. Like they're pissed. They are not happy. And then, yeah, sometimes he's like, I'm going to do a fucking sick ass action move and kill all sorts of people. And that directly leads to a hard reset.
Like an objective failing. Yeah.
Like directly leads to a wipe, which is pretty great.
I will say our campaign, we killed those goblins a lot more effectively than I thought. I thought we would.
You know?
Easy. Easy.
Frank Sinatra is a fucking cold-eyed, dead-hearted sniper.
Yeah.
You're just, if you're in his fucking crosshairs and he's got his finger on that trigger, it's time to say a prayer. Like
Frank Sinatra don't miss.
He missed a bunch, but
wow.
He had a good time pretending to be just fucking dead-eye, like does not give a fuck about the concept of sentient life. Loves playing God and just instantly ending something's existence.
I'm a fair ways into the Underdark right now, and in my own campaign. Boy, radiant damage sure went from being terrible to really fucking OP on the drop of a dime.
You're still in the Underdark?
Or like underground, like New Area Underground.
I thought you got to like the Shadow Curse lands because you said you got to section two, right?
That's different than the Underdark.
Yeah, no, yeah. You're not. You're still in Act One.
No, I'm in Act Two.
Lucas still thinks he's in the Underdark, but he's not in the Underdark.
I thought everything underground was the Underdark.
The Shadow Curse lands aren't underground.
Oh. Yeah. It was dark like the Andre. I'm in the Shadow Curse lands.
You encountered the like shadow people in like the Last Light Inn, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then you're in Act Two.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not the Underdark. That's
okay.
The Underdark is where you were before you got to the Shadow Curse lands.
Oh, so you guys did stuff at Last Light Inn?
Yeah, that was what Andrew almost fucked up. I don't know where you are. I don't want to spoil. Like, if you've talked to what's her name.
Isabel
from the
what the fuck was that fight after Isabel?
Yeah, that's the one that Andrew wiped us on accident. I mean, we wiped a couple of times.
Yeah, no, only one of those is my fault. Like,
well, it was funny because the very first time we wiped because we just weren't prepared. Like, we didn't realize how dire. Like, if Isabel fucking goes down.
Yeah,
it's a wipe. Like we cannot win, and
yes,
it would be bad to win anyway. Dead. Like yeah. It wouldn't be a fun game if we lost that fight. So we go into the second fight. Like, all right, priority number one: protect Isabel. Andrew, you're on Isabel duty. Like we're gonna cast what's it called? Sanctuary on her.
Yeah,
we're gonna make sure she stays safe. Andrew, you're on heals. We're gonna throw potions. Like priorities number 1 through 10: Isabel. We make it. Pretty much through the entire fight, mm-hmm. Andrew cracks out his spirit guardians for like the last few winged horrors, wipes a few of them, gets in his feelings.
So Seamus, in Seamus's words, oh my God, I'm finally doing something.
Yeah, yes.
Exactly. I'm going to go kill all these motherfuckers. I leave Isabel alone.
Yeah, Seamus just bails on Isabel, like just runs over and is going to jump down onto the lower levels of the Last Light Inn, taking damage, ending his turn, and going prone. We convince him to Misty Step instead, so he kills one of the final winged horrors. I'm begging people. I've already gone. I killed Marcus with my final turn, so it's like there was nothing I could do. I'm literally begging people, like, Isabel's at 20 health, guys. Like, this is not... She's not safe, per se. No, everyone ignores me. Seamus fucking clocks down, kills someone. Fucking Jason and his warlock, like I don't even remember what he does. He attacks.
So no, the problem was that like those two guys were around Isabel and they were going to heal her.
Mm-hmm.
Things were gonna be fine. She leaves. There is one winged horror outside. She leaves. She dashes over to where he is. because she wants to like get this motherfucker, and then it kills her.
Nah, it wasn't even that easy though. Like, I remember because that winged horror, they were like, oh, he's intimidated or whatever, he can't go this turn. And I was like, okay, whatever.
Well, no, because she had used turned undead, so he wasn't an enemy anymore. Exactly. And then Ian hit him with a fireball.
That's what I'm saying, exactly. Rather than do any sort of healing, anything like that, they like targeted this guy, made him aggro again. And then, yeah, he instantly just fucking wipes her. And we have to hard reset again. It's just like everyone in the party. I'm begging in the voice chat. I'm just like, she's not safe, you guys. Like, let's do something. And nothing.
She also rejected my sanctuary. I cast sanctuary on her and she said no.
That was the very first part of the fight. But we had done well up until that point. And I'm begging in the voice chat, like, don't lose sight. We're almost there. And everyone else ignores her. She downs, and I'm screaming. I'm just like, what the fuck? We could have predicted this.
It is. I'm so glad you guys had a similar experience, because it is my headcanon now that Isabel, spelled weird for those at home, is a straight up apostate and really bummed about it. Like, she does not enjoy being a cleric. She does not enjoy being the person protecting this caravan of people. Because she just kept trying to kill herself in my time. Like, I was getting a little frustrated by it, so I started, like, cheating at it a little bit. I started, like, well, I'm going to set up this AoE effect. I'm going to, like, do some stuff to, like, help me out when the winged horrors show up, when this fight actually begins. And then she was just, like, straight up running into the blender.
Yeah.
So she could fire off a spell, like, no self-preservation whatsoever. I got the impression she did not care if she lived or died. Honestly,
after the fight, we talked to her and she was just like, wow, like, it's such a, like, it's really fortunate that I survived that. Like, we would have been so fucked. And I'm just like, not for lack of fucking trying. Jesus Christ.
She rejected the sanctuary spell.
Yeah.
What the bad. That's not how any human would react in that situation.
It's because she wanted to cast turn undead. On one guy.
We did our best. We made it. We survived. And then we went on to the next fight, which was like 10 times easier. Where we just ambush a spider dude. Did you do that one yet?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes.
Did not like him. He was gross.
What'd you do to the pixie? Did you keep her around or you let her go?
I kept her. And then I got the notification like, oh, Karlach disapproves. And I'm like, well, I don't want to upset Karlach. So then I let the pixie go. And the pixie was like, hey, fuck you a little bit. But here's a magic bell so you can not die in the dark.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh. She was real upset when we kept her. And I was like, yeah, that's fucking right. Basically, the split was Andrew and Ian were fucking libtard, like, bleeding heart, just like, we gotta let her go, guys, this isn't fair. And Jason was like, I mean, we need the light, like, full-blown utilitarian. Yeah. And I was like, she's not gonna help our ass. I don't trust this fucking do-gooder pixie. Like, she's way too eager to, like, help us out if we let her free. I don't buy that for a fucking minute. Like, no chance. And then her tone changed so drastically. I'll gut the lot of you, like, when we chose to keep her. And I was like, yeah, that's right. We made the right call.
And if you pass the intelligence check, the game is straight up like, oh, pixies, biologically designed to be deceitful liars that fuck with people. Continuing Dungeons & Dragons' longstanding trend of, like, biological determinism over good and evil.
Yeah. No, we were having fun. And Angel had to be the tiebreaker. And Angel rightfully chose to keep the pixie. And we still have it. And she occasionally cusses us out as we walk around.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a grand old time. We love it.
But yeah, no, my playthrough, I pretty much cleared out the Darklands or whatever it's called. And now I'm just staring down Moonrise Towers.
Be fun.
Yeah. I don't know if I like Helsin. I mean, I like him as a character, but as, like, a guy you can control. Eh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a big Helsin guy.
I mean, it's fine, but it's a little... I feel like druids are trying to have it both ways, where it's like, ah, oh, they can do magic and melee, but, like, neither super effectively. I'm very into min-maxing in this game.
I feel like it's the animal shit is what people like, right? Like, that's, it's just cool.
Yeah,
you become an animal and eat people.
Yeah, it's the cool factor that makes people go druid.
Mm.
It's unique.
I'm an owl bear. I can have sex with people as an owl bear, and it's not weird. Bear.
There's so many people back in the day when I first started raging as a barbarian.
Yeah.
I think there was a little bit of envy of just like, oh, that dude's about to fuck some shit up. And now that we're like a little farther in the story, I think everyone's like, oh wow, he doesn't got much to do. He just goes into a rage and then hits people with the sword a lot. There's not really, once you've done that once, you've kind of done it a few times. So I think it was cool in the beginning, and now everyone else gets to catch up and be like, ah, I get to do cool shit.
Now imagine if you didn't even have a rage, and now you know what it's like to be a fighter.
Although Spirit Guardians is not the most cinematic way to kill people.
No, I just cast an aura and like a bunch of like gold doves or something fly around and light people on fire.
You just walk around slowly and people die. It's not really.
I like to imagine that he's just running. He's like running around in circles, trying to just like get the magic bird people to hit the guys he wants them to. It's really fucking dumb.
It's pretty good. I think they had that in Fantasy High, right? Didn't they have a portrayal of Spirit Guardians, which sounded kind of funny?
Yeah. And they were all like, they're really into corn or something. But yeah, that was a good running gag.
They were very personified by Brennan Lee Mulligan.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
As they should be.
That and my hammer that I keep casting. I can cast other weapons. I want you to know that. I can cast other, probably better weapons.
I've not... Okay, the weird thing about like creating spirit weapons like that, I haven't seen like a trident or a hammer. Well, I guess there's kind of like hammers, but
yeah,
the trident
is one of them. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Haven't seen like that as a regular weapon.
Oh, a regular weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can just like, oh, yeah, I have a trident. Oh, this is a magic sentient trident, I guess.
If you casted a hammer that I could then wield, that would be the fucking coolest shit possible. But
I think that's you throw the hammer? Could you enraged throw the hammer?
Something we gotta test out.
I think that's a warlock thing. You can like create a pact weapon, or you can bind a specific weapon. And I always do the latter because I found one that gets a pretty great bonus if you bind it to a warlock or a paladin.
That was another thing that happened in our playthrough where Jason summoned the dark warlock energy and became like a demonic possessed floating thing for a while, and then cooked out this fucking crazy like lightning bolt spell, did 10 damage, and then Seamus casted a hammer and then the hammer bonked the guy also for 10 damage. Like they did the exact, it looked like Jason was about to open hell and swallow up the bad guy for 100 points of damage, and it just did like 10 damage. And then Andrew bonked a guy with the same amount. And we were just like, well, this all tracks.
Equally effective. Yes. Did you guys get the singing sword?
No.
No.
Oh, okay. Found that in the Underdark. Give it to Asterion.
I want that. Is it two-handed?
Yeah. Oh, you know it.
Ooh.
Actually, probably a great way for a bard to like play a support role in a pocket capacity. Yeah. All right, I think that will just about do it for episode 239 of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast. I don't know, this will be like spooky, scary skeletons or some shit. If you like what you heard, like, comment, subscribe, etc. Check us out Instagram, YouTube, TikTok for highlight clips. Actually, link in the description. Support us on Patreon now more than ever, and join the likes of the terrific Tiffany Cole, Psyche Badger, and Sensual Richard Nixon. Follow us on Twitter at V2_podcast for updates. Follow me, Lucas DeRuyter, on Twitter, Blue Sky, LinkedIn, I guess. I don't know. I'm job hunting, man. Freelance, full-time. I don't know. Filled out Cobra stuff today, and I guess I got healthcare kind of for 3 months at least. Yeah. I think that's it. Happy Halloween. Goodbye.